Mr. Graham.
Thank you, Your Honor. May it please the Court, my name is Scott Graham on behalf of the defendants below. The question that is presented in this appeal is whether or not the operation of this entity identified as Pioneer Ranch is so uniquely personal in nature that it does not constitute a trade or business as is required by the Grotzinger test in order to establish withdrawal liability. We contend that it is. And I think in focusing on that, one of the real keys is to look at what was the primary purpose in operating this entity? What was the primary purpose? Now, we know that in every year in which Pioneer Ranch existed, it operated at a substantial loss. The facts presented to the district court, I think, clearly established there was never, never any belief that profit would be generated. But so the real question, as we boil this all down, is whether the primary purpose was to generate income.
This thing was a tax shelter, wasn't it? Isn't that a fairly common kind of tax shelter to acquire livestock?
Your Honor, I don't think it was a tax shelter. I think it was an estate planning. It was a device to avoid estate tax. I think the real key here is...
Well, avoiding estate probate taxes does tax shelter, isn't it?
It is. Absolutely. The real, I think, persuading fact here comes down to this. For 20-plus years before Pioneer Ranch was formed, for 20-plus years, this property was owned by the same people, by the Whitings, used for the exact same purpose, and, in fact, was their retreat and their vacation home. For 20-plus years, they began to acquire the property in 1970 or 71. And so for 20-plus years, they go along using this as their retreat, as their family vacation home. This property is located in the Charlevoix area. The Whitings are from Detroit, some 300 miles away. So for 20-plus years, they do this. At some point in time in 1993, a decision is made, in fact, to establish the limited partnership. We believe the facts show for estate planning purposes. And there's no question but that they derived some tax benefit by being able to deduct the expenses related to maintenance, just as the Whites did in the White case, just as the Fulkersons did in their case.
Well, if it's a trade or business for purposes of deductibility of expenses, then it's equally a trade or business for purposes of that we're concerned with here, isn't it? The test is the same, isn't it?
I don't think it is, Your Honor, and the reason my support for that is simply if we look at White and Fulkerson, this court stated specifically in those decisions that, and I'll refer specifically to the Whites, that without question, the Whites derived a tax benefit by being able to write off the expenses that were related to the rental of the apartments in question. Despite that, this court reversed a grant of summary judgment in favor of Central States. So I don't think the test...
Weren't they both decided under a de novo rather than
They were, Your Honor, and I think that's
standard of review.
Exactly right, Your Honor, and I think the same standard should apply here, without question. We clearly have matters that were presented to the district court that create a posture where de novo review is appropriate. In those cases, Central States urged this court to apply a different standard of review, and in both of those cases, this court rejected that request by Central States. Because the question that ultimately is before the court is whether or not this entity is a trade or a business. And therefore, if the court ruled incorrectly, then de novo review is appropriate, as opposed to one in which all the facts are undisputed. And my support for that proposition that there are disputes here comes, I think, is shown here. Central States seems to make two arguments. The first argument is that the documents alone establish the fact that this is a trade or a business because there was a limited partnership agreement that states a purpose and there were tax returns. And I have to live with that. But Central States goes on to make the argument that despite that, this is really not a retreat, that it really is a working cattle ranch. And I don't know how it could be any clearer in light of the 20-plus years of using the property as a retreat before the partnership was established, combined with the fact that there were significant losses every year in which the partnership operated. I don't know how it could be any clearer that this was, in fact, the Whiting family retreat. And I think the facts show that. And the affidavits tendered to the district court showed that there was no difference in the way the property was used once the partnership was established. What it gets to...
I think it's very questionable that anybody ever expected to make any money off this operation. But is that relevant? If the IRS was willing to let them deduct their expenses and treat them as a business for that purpose, isn't that enough to establish it for this purpose?
Well, I think not, Your Honor, because of the exact application or the application of the exact...
I mean, I guess theoretically the IRS finds that all tax shelters have a purpose to make money or to show a profit. That's a theoretical determination they make in case of all tax shelters that are legal. Mm-hmm. But that doesn't prove that they actually expect to make money, I don't think.
Well, I would agree with you, Your Honor. I would simply say this.
I think those are the realities of the tax law, aren't they?
It does, Your Honor. Here, I think the key is this. The question of what the IRS should do about how the Whitings and the partnership were handled, that's a matter for the IRS and the partnership. Again, just as happened in White, there were clearly tax benefits. The real question to me comes down to this notion that can there be something that is so uniquely personal in nature that, in fact, it is not a trade or business as defined by the Grotzinger test? And when we get to that, we get down to these questions that are absolutely undisputed here, such as the fact that there is no allegation of fractionalization here. That was important to the court in White. Every factor that lines up about what is fair in these competing interests under ERISA lines up in favor of my clients. And the reason is, it is undisputed that the trucking company paid every penny of contribution. Now, I know that alone does not decide the question. I know that. It is undisputed that there was no fractionalization. Absolutely undisputed. I know that alone does not decide the question. It is undisputed that this property was used for 22 years by the Whitings without ever establishing Pioneer Ranch, and it was used in the same manner as it was after it was Pioneer Ranch. I know that alone does not decide the question. The real issue becomes what happens when you combine all of these things together, and it creates a situation which I believe to be so unique that the uniqueness aspect is more akin to what we see in White and Fulkerson as opposed to cases to the contrary. Thank you, Your Honors.
Mr. Reuter?
May it please the Court, Your Honors, my name is Timothy Reuter, and I represent Central States in this matter. Your Honors, if we look to the totality of the evidence in this case, it is clear that Pioneer Ranch was indeed an organized business and trader business as envisioned by Section 1301. The appellant continuously refers us to the cases in Fulkerson and White to insinuate that this is of such a personal nature as to qualify as to the situation in White.
Well, he doesn't insinuate, he just says so.
That's correct, Your Honor, and I would vehemently disagree with that statement. First of all, we have to look at the fact that Pioneer Ranch was established under a partnership agreement. It's formally recognized by the laws of the state of Michigan. They had to apply for a business license in the state of Michigan. And the purpose within their own partnership agreement for why it was established is to engage in the business of farming, ranching, and any other agricultural pursuit. Now, the appellant makes light of the fact, or brings to light the fact that this property was also used as a vacation home. Central States has never argued that the property was never used as a vacation home. However, I think that Judge Conlon's statement below speaks directly to this point, in that Pioneer Ranch fails to cite any legal authority for the proposition that evidence of incidental personal benefits preclude a finding of a trade or business. We look here to the form of Pioneer Ranch.
Of course, what's incidental to what is purely a matter of opinion. I mean,
I agree
that the cattle were incidental to the vacation home just as easily as you can say the vacation home was incidental.
I agree, Your Honor, but I think if you look at the facts, I think that they point to the fact that the primary purpose was income or profit. We looked at the fact that for...
You don't seriously think anybody expected to make a profit out of it.
Well, I think that we need to make an important distinction with the fact that the Grossinger test is whether they received income or profit. It is clear that there were many benefits received by the Whitings by establishing this as a partnership, many of which you yourself have pointed out. It acted as a tax shelter. They were able to offset losses with their other income by portraying it as a partnership. These are benefits that are not provided to individuals in their personal...
Now, is a tax shelter treated the same as a, what we'll call it, an ordinary business for purposes of withdrawal liability?
I would say that in this case, it's not necessary to determine whether or not
Answer my question.
I would say that a tax shelter would tend to qualify as a trade or business as envisioned by Section 1301, in that you are afforded certain protections by the IRS, and the...
I mean, a tax shelter to me is something that's organized as a business, but with the expectation that it'll provide tax benefits, not necessarily with the expectation that it'll produce a profit on the bottom line.
I would argue that the tax benefits that are received through a shelter would actually go towards the profit that is received by an individual.
You're saying that the tax benefits are the same thing as profits?
I think that I'm sorry.
Did you hear the question? You're saying the tax benefit is the same thing as profit.
I'm saying that that's correct, that the benefit derived...
So the answer is yes.
Yes.
That's a nice unequivocal response.
Thank you. I believe...
What's the standard of review in this case?
Your Honor, I would argue that the standard of review is that of clear error. This court, I would first like to point out that the appellant brought to light stating that this argument was made in both Fulkerson and White, and that court rejected that the standard was clear error. That's actually incorrect. The courts in those two decisions never had to reach that conclusion because they found that there was legal error below. However, this court in Slotsky and Personnel have stated that it's a clearly erroneous standard of view when the only factual issue in question is one of a characterization of those facts. It is clear that we understand how the workings of Pioneer Ranch, how it was operated. We understand that it had a full-time employee. We understand that those employees were provided with retirement benefits, that there were actually at times it was necessary to hire more than one employee, and that it was necessary to take out a workers' compensation policy on behalf of those employees.
Your position then would be, even if any or all of us had a different view than Judge Conlon, under clear error, we couldn't substitute our judgment.
I would state, Your Honor, that...
the nature of this Pioneer Ranch.
I would state that in interpreting this, the decision of Judge Conlon, it is appropriate to use the clear error standard of review. I would also state, however, that it's Central State's contention that even if we were to review the case using a de novo standard of review, the facts would more than satisfy an affirmation of the judge's decision below. So I think, Your Honors, if we look to the statement that the appellant made regarding the fact that there was no fractionalization of assets here, I think it is essential to look to the fact that this court and Personnel, where the defendant had the same situation, where there was negative cash flow and negative profits, and that court specifically rejected that finding of fractionalization of assets is necessary to find that an enterprise is a trade or business. Rather, that is not a consideration that the courts will look to in interpreting Section 1301. As such, Your Honor, I would just like to, again, draw light to the fact that the legal form of the enterprise, the intent in creating it, as stated by the partners themselves in the partnership agreement, which is legally binding and organized under the state, the laws of the state of Michigan, and the fact that it was treated.
Yeah, but that's all boilerplate, isn't it? Does that tell you anything about the realities of the purposes for creating the enterprise?
I don't believe so, sir. If they intended to set up Piney Ranch as a vacation home, and the partnership intended to merely profit or to bolster this partnership as a vacation home, for the upkeep, et cetera, of the vacation home, then that would have been the stated purpose within the business agreement. But rather, this is a signed statement by the partners of their intent, and that is to further the business of farming and ranching and other agricultural pursuits. The IRS allows...
Well, didn't they want it to be a business so they could deduct its expenses?
I think that's true, Your Honor. I think that they did want to make use of the treatments, the tax benefits that are afforded trades or businesses by the Internal Revenue Services, benefits that are not provided to individuals who merely own a vacation home. So if there are no other questions, Your Honor? Thank you. I would ask that you affirm this decision.
Mr. Graham, do you want to take a second or two on the standard of review?
I will, Your Honor. Thank you. I would note, for example, in White, where summary judgment was granted below in favor of Central States, the matter came before this court. I would quote from the court's opinion at page 639, quote, Central States would like us to review the district court's decision for clear error, going on to make the same argument here. And I would note that this court refused to do so, finding that because it determined that the court misapplied the trader business standard, that the clear error standard did not apply. And that was the nature of why I said that the court rejected the clear error standard review. This court found that if it determines that the district court is incorrect in finding that an entity or an organization is a trader or business, the clear error standard does not apply at all to the review. And that would be my argument regarding that point. I see my time is near an end. I have nothing else to add.
Well, Graham, what would you say to the argument that, and I'll just, without sounding pejorative, characterize these as vanity businesses, you know, horse ranches and cattle ranches, that there may be a hope of profit, but if not, it has this, at least a dual purpose of vacation home. That because you pick up certain benefits, you just have this exposure. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of an accompanying potential liability. Should that affect our analysis in any way?
Well, Your Honor, I think that it should not establish liability here simply because the consequences here are so dramatic. Here we're talking about, you know, a family losing everything because, of course, we have personal liability that flows through because Mr. Whiting was a general partner. And so the operation of a vanity business, gentleman farming, some people would say. The IRS would make the distinction hobby farming as opposed to business. But I think that's an IRS matter, and I don't think that the penalty should be so great that it spills over to the 1301 analysis. I think we have to balance the competing interests.
Well, the equities here is, of course, the enormous exposure. Would we, looking ahead to, as we must, in our responsibility when we handle these cases, if the equities were less, if it was a relatively insignificant amount, would you say that would be a different case?
No, I would have to say that it has to be the same case. It has to be the same standard that is applied throughout. But to me, the key is that every other factor here lines up in favor of the Whitings. Thank you.
Thanks to all counsel. The case is taken under advisement. Court will proceed to the